Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about managing subs on site with the help of special guest John Vendifredo of Hogan Design and Construction in Geneva, Illinois. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim Fowler and welcome to the Tim Fowler Show. We recently had a guest on that described the difference, at least in his mind, between a trade partner and a sub. He described it as a trade partner being like a marriage, and calling someone a sub is still about the dating. Well, I guess it needs to be said that whatever your language is for the relationship before the work starts, you still have to be able to work together on the site. And I think almost everybody in this business understands that getting quotes from subs and talking about how the job's going to go before it starts is very, very different than when you get on site and now you're dealing with reality. You're dealing with the real conditions of the site. Now, for some folks, the way they deal with trade contractors or subs, depending on what you want to, terminology you want to use, it's about giving orders. It's just like, I'm the boss, you do what I tell you, or you'll never work for me again. And then there's these other folks who really, when I talk to them during my site visits sometimes, it's kind of like they're begging the trade contractors to help them on the job site. It's almost like the trades are in charge of the job. So I think everybody understands that the best scenario is when there's a great working relationship that's very similar to a team. In other words, we all play well together and we all win. So on the Tim Fowler Show, we're working really hard to bring in more guests that are out there in the field actually doing the project management. And so a few weeks ago, we had on David Wittig of Adams & Beasley. And he talked about pre-job planning and giving us some ideas of how he makes things work. Today, we're going to be talking with a project manager that has a good handle on getting a trade partners to work with him and not against him. So it's going to be fun to see how he does this while still maintaining schedule and great client satisfaction. So, Steve, as we get going into this, like you've been in this business, like what was the one thing you did to try to get your trades to work better with you?
Well, for me, it was all about setting expectations, and I wanted them to be on board with what I was doing. I wanted to communicate my culture and what I expected of everybody that was on my job site. And really, we would have a conversation on whether or not that, you know, worked for them. But for me, it was really, you know, they're a business too, and they're producing the work under the umbrella of your company. So, you know, it's really important to know why everyone is there. And but for me, it was really about communicating my culture to them. So
I think for me, it was about kind of being a benevolent dictator, and basically the idea that I was pretty insistent on some things, but I gave them a lot of latitude on other things. And I think they appreciated that. And you know, sometimes pushed against the things that I really insisted on. But you know what? I'm the general contractor. So
yeah,
let's get going.
Yeah. So after realizing the Carpenters Union was not for him, John called his cousin Brian Hogan and asked if he was hiring and if he offered health insurance. John started with Hogan Design and Construction in January 2005 as a laborer and quickly learned the skills in the field and was promoted to lead carpenter in 2007. From there, he built strong relationships with subcontractors, homeowners, and took a sincere interest in management. He was again promoted in 2012, this time to project manager. One of John's most recent accomplishments was the completion of the company's first new construction home and is currently managing four other new developments. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is pretty exciting. For the listeners that have been in on other podcasts, you've heard Brad Hogan on a couple of them. And Brad is in Hogan Design there in Geneva. And so we're glad to share the experience of one particular company in many different facets. So, John, let's just talk about, like, from the get-go, when do you get involved with a project in terms of bringing subs on board or talking to subs, or what's your involvement with them before the site work actually starts?
So it usually starts in the office, and I get I hear something from my boss about an upcoming job or something that's in the pipeline. And so when I go out to my jobs and I'm visiting them, I might mention it to some of the subcontractors. Hey, we got this job coming up that, you know, that's going to be, you know, a bathroom or an addition or a new construction house, just to kind of get it in their ear. And then they start to wonder and ask questions about that. So that would be like my initial contact about a job with a sub.
Okay. Are you involved at all in sort of setting out their scope of work for a project, or does that done by somebody else and it's handed off to you then at some kind of turnover meeting?
So it's evolved a little bit because we're taking on a lot of new development jobs. So I'm very involved with the estimating of those jobs. We get blueprints and I'm reviewing the prints and I'm sending them out to the subs to get, you know, their quotes, and then reviewing those quotes to make sure that everything that's on the print is covered.
Okay, that's great. So I'm just wondering, do you feel like, because a lot of companies don't do that, but do you feel like that helps you in terms of that on-site relationship when you finally do, you know, dig the hole and start the project, that you've been engaged in that communication beforehand?
Yeah, it's it creates buy-in for me to the project. I dig into those prints. I know them front and back. So I usually have answers to their questions. And yeah, I think it helps that process for sure.
Yeah, I think it would seem to me that that part of that planning and kind of the getting all the notes together really would help once you get out on the job site. So let's just say the contract's been signed, everything's all set up. What is your connection to the trade contractors as the job is starting? I guess what I'm kind of interested in, and again, especially because you're doing some new homes, there's a bunch of trade contractors that are not involved in that immediate startup. I mean, you've got a foundation to put in, you've got framing to do, and what's the connection that you have with your subs, or maybe the timing of that connection as you move into a project?
So all the subs do get involved immediately. As soon as we, you know, as soon as we get the bids all in and everything that we're going to be scaling and providing, I'll typically, you know, build a tentative schedule for the project. But before the foundation's even poured, I've sent a welcome letter via Builder Trend to all the subs that will be on the project. It's just saying, you know, hey, here's the job that we're going to be doing. Here's our tentative start date. We put in all the files on Builder Trend that they have access to. And even going back to a remodel, we put all the files in, we offer them, you know, site visits prior to the job even starting to make sure that the scope is clear. They don't have any questions, or if they do, we can get them answered before they get on site. We try to get all the design packages and selections and everything ready for them before they show up on site, so that when they do show up, they can be productive and efficient.
So are you actually doing the uploads to Builder Trend? Again, just kind of looking at it from all the different companies I've met, and it, you know what, folks, it's not just old versus young. I met some guys recently that are 35 years old, and they go like, I don't do computers. So I just want to know, like, are you actually doing all that uploading?
Absolutely. Yeah. We take all the plans, we upload everything into Builder Trend. We fill out all the POs for all the subcontractors, so they have access to see what we have figured for their scope, what dollar amount we have figured for them. And like I said, all the blueprints and plans and site visits if they want. And we have a lot of communication before the job even starts.
Okay. So once the job has gotten going, you know, I've heard all these formulas for working with, you know, trade contractors, 3-1-1, 3-2-1, you know, all this stuff, but how do you guys make sure that your trades show up when you want them to and are actually finishing up when you want them to? What method do you use? Obviously it's out there on BuilderTrend, but is there anything else you do just to make sure that they're working on your timetable and your schedule?
Yeah, so like I said, we give them the welcome letter that gives them the tentative start date. We send out the POs. We've got a schedule built, and we can link each sub to that schedule. So they're getting notifications via BuilderTrend through that schedule. And then we'll reach out to them about 2 weeks ahead, because they already have that date in their calendar. So 2 weeks ahead, we'll just say, hey, just want to make sure everything's good on your end. And then about 1 week out, we'll follow up again, just let them know if anything changed with our schedule. And then definitely the day before, we're sending a text confirming that they'll be there the next day at the time that we want them there, 8 o'clock, because we have an expectation. Like, we give our customers an expectation. Someone will be there at 8. And if I'm not there to meet him, typically the first time, if I've got a plumber going to be on a site for 3 days, I'll meet him there the first day at 8, introduce him to the customer if he hasn't done a previous site visit. And then from there, it would be, you know, the following day, the communication daily would be, you know, if I'm not meeting there, it would be a text message around, you know, 9 o'clock, making sure everything's going smoothly, see if they need anything.
Okay, cool. So again, just kind of going back to some of the conversations I've had with contractors over the last couple of years, how do you get your, I'm sitting here assuming that all of your trade contractors are active in BuilderTrend. And how did you get that to happen? Because I'm hearing from a lot of contractors that their subs are saying, like, nah, I'm not going to do that, or only minimally involved. So how did you get them to buy into that?
Yeah, it took a long time. It did, you know, even for me, when we first started using BuilderTrend, I was like, nah, I don't need that. And then once you start to use it, you realize how user-friendly it is and how it really does help keep things organized. So a lot of the subs have bought into it and do use it very diligently. Other subs, okay, you kind of have to tailor to different subs, because like I said, I have an HVAC guy who's a little older and, you know, doesn't love the system, so I have to kind of use it for him. So
right,
he might get the notifications and delete them or whatever, but the fact that we're following up, you know, via phone calls and just regular phone communication. So you kind of have to tailor to the different subs and learn their personalities and how it's going to work best for them, because we want to make it easy for them. And at the same time, we want to follow our system and our process.
Okay. So I know from knowing the company a little bit, you guys are a project manager, all trade based company. I guess you have a couple of people in house that do fill-ins and things like that. But as a project manager, and then in the intro, we found out you're managing 4 projects at one time. What's your day look like? What does your day look like? And particularly as it relates to managing these trades on site?
It's busy. I basically make my notes for the day kind of just like my daily organizer. So I have certain meetings that have time slotted for them and places I need to be at specific times. And then all 4 jobs, luckily, are very close to our office, within like a 5-block radius of our office. So I can drive by all 5 of my jobs in a matter of 3 minutes. So even just a quick drive by to make sure they're there, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so just checking up that way. But the day, I guess I don't really understand part of the question.
No, I think you're answering it just fine. I'm just kind of curious. I know, again, knowing people out there in the industry, they're just wondering, like, how do you make sure, like, let's just talk about quality control. So you have trades on site. They're there working. If you drive by once a day, you know, how do you know that they're actually doing the work that you want them to do, that they're producing the quality that you want them to produce? I guess I'm just kind of seeing, like, is your day like every job gets a half an hour or every job depending on the phase? That's sort of the idea that I'm looking for here. And so maybe you can just address specifically the quality control issues with all trade contractors, and how do you ensure that they're getting the job done on time and to the quality that you need to have as a company?
So we rely heavily on our subs. We do, checkups on them before we start using them, but we do rely heavily on their professionalism and that they can meet the HDC standard, Hogan Design and Construction Standard. We do routine checkups of all the jobs, daily or every other day. Sometimes we'll schedule a meeting with another project manager or the production manager to meet on site just to get a second set of eyes on it. But we also get a lot of feedback from the previous trades, for quality purposes. The painter is going to give us feedback on our drywaller, and our electrician and plumber and HVAC guy might give us feedback on our framing carpenter. And so we always get feedback. We're always asking them for feedback. And like I said, just the second set of eyes and the experience of just being on the site and knowing what to look for. The other thing I would say is the inspections. I've learned a lot just from the city's inspections. So I finished a house and for the rough inspections and the final inspections, they have to find stuff. So they find things that they want fixed before they can do the re-inspection. Well, I learned from that on the next project. I'll take those notes with me to the next job and review those notes, make sure those things are all handled. So I'm trying to complete a job with nothing on the inspection report, which I realize is impossible because otherwise they wouldn't make any money. So that's another way that I can check myself on the quality control as well.
So. John, you mentioned the HDC standard. How is that communicated to the subs, and what does that look like? Is that a pamphlet? Is that a handout? How are you communicating that?
I think it's mostly just being on site and, being nice about the things that you want to point out. We don't want them cutting any corners. We want to make sure that everything is done to the industry standard, but also better than that. Like, I want to pretend like this is my house, and if I were the customer, and I see a drywall crack that the painter didn't fix, or that the, I just want to make sure that everything, if it were my house, is how I would want it. And then the more you tell the same, and I think it's the relationship with the sub and keeping the same subs longer, builds that relationship and that expectation. Mm-hmm.
So since you're involved in the estimating, how do you keep subs that have been with you for a long time from just creeping their price up all the time? Obviously if I'm your painter and you've used me for 5 years, I'm feeling pretty comfortable. And, my prices are going up and, this person, this and that and other thing. Just kind of an idea of how do you just ensure that people aren't just creeping up the prices on you?
Well, I reference previous jobs a lot, previous bids from previous jobs, and just say, well, how come you're charging me this much for this job when you did it on this job for, this much? The other thing is, again, retaining subs and, using them over and over again and trusting them. They, I feel like they'll do more for you and they'll be fair with you if you're continuing to give them the solid work. I understand materials go up. So we understand that there's going to be, some increases, and then that has to get relayed onto our customers as well. But yeah, I like to reference previous jobs.
Okay, great. So this is kind of a trick question, John, just because when we had Brad on a while back talking about change orders and stuff, I'm just trying to see if you have the same answer he has. So, what do you do when a subcontractor is on site and they actually do extra work and then kind of expect to get paid for it? They think it's a change order. They didn't clear it with you, and now they're sending you a bill for extra work. What do you do?
So all of our subs sign a subcontractor agreement with us that has that covered. It basically says if the customer asks you to do extra work and it doesn't come through me as a project manager, who's going to manage that change order, and you do the extra work and expect to get paid for it, well, no, nobody approved that. You know, maybe the customer wanted you to do that, but that's at your expense then, you know? So they handed me a bill, which happened to me. So I had a painter who the customer went to the painter and said, hey, can you paint these three doors while you're painting this trim and those doors? And he said, yeah, no problem. And he did it. Well, I got a bill for an extra $300. And I'm like, well, I apologize, but it puts us in a really uncomfortable situation because the customer wants what they want, but they're not following the proper channels. And then right. The subcontractor is not following the proper channels. So it puts us in a really uncomfortable spot. But yeah, they'll only do it once, I'll tell you that.
Well, guess what? You passed the test. That's exactly what Brad told us a few months ago. So good job. So as we're starting to wrap up a little bit, I got one more question, and that is just, and it may not be applicable right now because it sounds like you're doing some bigger projects, but when do you decide or how do you decide to like put two subs on a job at the same time? In other words, that's one of those things. In other words, to push a schedule at times, we might like, okay, I have to have the plumber and the electrician here at the same time, even though it's just a kitchen. It's not a whole, you know, gigantic house. How do you decide when that is? And then how do you manage that with your subs so that they're not griping and complaining all the time about it?
So I think it's a really important question because it's what I consider all the time on all my jobs, and especially the bigger jobs, it's a lot easier to do. But I think it's important because it's trying to hold to that schedule. You know, you could have a delay that you need to make up for, or even just coming in ahead of schedule and making someone really happy. It depends on the size of the job. It depends on what trades you're thinking about overlapping. I'm constantly, you know, HVAC guy is in there first, but as soon as he's done on the second floor, the plumber's on the second floor. And then he moves to the first floor. Electrician, I like to try to hold off just because, you know, he can kind of work around anything. Obviously, you can't have, you know, anything really overlapping the drywall. They kind of have the house to themselves. Same with the flooring guys, like wood floors, tile, they kind of need to do their thing before trim can start. Painters, again, same thing. They kind of have to have a house to themselves. But when it comes to the hardware and trimming out the house, you know, you can have the electrician hanging lights while the carpenter is putting door hardware and cabinet hardware on. I do like to overlap like the exterior and interior work because I've got a lot of site work that needs to be done on my jobs. You know, the storm sewer work and the underground water and sewer. The grading, the driveways, all that can kind of be happening in tandem with some of the interior work. So I'm constantly thinking of ways to have multiple subs on the job, even if there's no parking.
Yeah, so this is an interesting thing. Years ago, I worked with a semi-custom builder who was trying to do multiple homes at a time. And hey, he had never even thought about the idea that the driveway could be poured while the drywall's being finished. It just, they had always thought about it in terms of like the driveway and the grading and the landscaping goes in last. Yeah. And we had cut their production time down dramatically by looking at all the different things that could be done outside when people are inside, as long as people have access to the house. So that's a huge thing there. So as we're wrapping this up, give us a little nugget. If you could kind of hit all the project managers out there with one little thing that they could do that would help them manage their trade contractors a little more effectively, what would it be?
So I had a feeling you're going to ask me that, and I have three little nuggets for you.
Okay.
So the first thing I would say is to research your subs before you hire them. Get customer feedback, get other general contractors' feedback, get references from them so you can get feedback before you start to use them, because I think that's an important thing before you start using someone. If you don't know how other people's experiences were, then you don't know how your experience is going to be. The other thing I would say is pay them as quickly as you can. They will be a lot more responsive and bend over backwards for you or do things that are outside of their scope at no charge if they're getting paid when they're done. I think it's super important. The last thing would be is just to make sure the job site is ready for them 100%. Make sure the previous trade's out of their way. The design is clear. The scope is clear. All the materials or parts that they're going to need are on site. You know, if you can try to get them there before they start so they can see the space, ask you any questions, you can answer their questions and make sure everything's ready for them. So I think those would be the three top things I would say that would make it better for them and ultimately better for you.
Fantastic. Thank you.
John, that's awesome. And I want to thank you once again for joining us today on the Tim Fowler Show. We wish you continued success and look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much. Tim, what a great show. I love this topic. And for me, those last two nuggets, the last three nuggets were just so important. I found that, you know, you can communicate your culture, you can communicate the standards, but man, does money talk. And when you get them paid on time and, you know, they never have to look for dollars, it really, you know, the next time you need them quickly next day or come back to look at something, you will get that response. And having the site prepared for them is huge. It's a good practice no matter what. But man, it just does wonders for their productivity if you're prepared for them.
You know, the thing that really stood out to me was this welcome letter. What a unique idea. I've talked about this a lot with clients. You know, the production manager or somebody is sending them a letter that says, hey, we're glad to be working, you know, for you. But this idea of sending a note of any kind or a letter to all the subs associated with the job, mm-hmm. the minute you know you're going to do the job, and linking them to the schedule and giving them all that information right up front and letting them see that, I think is a critical thing to getting them to say, yeah, we're on a team, as opposed to I'm the plumber on a job or I'm the electrician. But no, we're all in this together. And I did like the fact that he's using this cloud-based program. And mm-hmm. I just want to mention there are others other than BuilderTrend. They use BuilderTrend. But I'm just convinced that these cloud-based programs are going to be the future in terms of communication with everybody. And it doesn't really matter what it's for, whether it's job logs with the homeowner or with the subs. I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah, there really will be no alternative moving forward. And really now, it's just so powerful. But, well, once again, we would like to thank John Vendifredo for joining us today. And always thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, we're helping the bottom line through production training.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast-track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about Roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.